Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I am Brandon Enyart.
And I am Aiden Wood.
It has been a while, and tell you what, politics have been crazy as one could expect at this time of the year on an election year. Aiden, you are tired, I know that, for many reasons,
yes,
probably.
Yes, I am so tired. Oh, God. Okay. I don't know what to say. I feel like I should say something. This is a podcast. We're supposed to be entertaining and insightful, and
well, I can't say this. The day after Super Tuesday, I just told you before we started, I said I've run the gamut of emotions regarding politics over the last few days. So if you don't mind, I'll probably start by just, I guess, talking about my thoughts on yesterday, which are kind of all over the place, right? Because when we started to hear places like CNN and MSNBC, and we started with the early states that came through with primaries and caucuses, you would have a lot of the pundits, they would say, well, if Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg consolidate with Biden, or if, you know, one of them consolidates with the other, multiple of them for that matter, you know, you take all these votes away from, or you put all these votes together, and it takes more of the vote away from Bernie Sanders, right? That's why he's winning these.
Like, all the centrists together in a huge blob would be Bernie.
I think the crazy part, I don't want to complain, because we all know how the media is going to go, right? So you can only complain so much. That has nothing to do with the vote, in my opinion. I'm not complaining that the media has any real sway over that. I did laugh, because when you're having to watch this, right, which, by the way, John King going through his touchscreen board is one of the most anxiety-inducing things I've ever, not to mention, like, checking my phone every 10 minutes, refreshing.
My best to avoid the results, and I tried to avoid looking at CNN, just because it feels, I posted this on Twitter, it feels like actual self-harm. It feels like just intentionally hurting yourself. And I think that even if, like, Bernie was winning, like, I feel like it would still feel like that in a way, to, like, compulsively check it. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I think that it's just, like, psychologically damaging to you.
Well, it was interesting, because their whole thing yesterday was this shock, as if what happened yesterday was completely unheard of. And in some ways it was. But after they, for weeks, said when all the centrists consolidate, they should be able to compete with Bernie. Then they made it out like them all consolidating and Biden having this great Super Tuesday was something out of the ordinary or shocking to them. But it's literally what they were saying, but they were boosting Biden so highly yesterday. And I think the thing that probably that made me the most, like, annoyed was Don Lemon when he took over for the early morning. He's like, well, I guess we can call it Wonderful Wednesday. I'm like, they're not even hiding it anymore. Like, how excited they are. That being said, moving to the other side of things, I was actually talking to somebody who I know who's also a Bernie fan, and she was pretty down about the results yesterday, especially Texas, I think, which is somewhere we expected Bernie to potentially win. And I said, you know, I don't see yesterday, especially with the fact that he's leading so far in California, and we still only have 93% of that vote being counted right now. I don't think it's actually as bad as it all looks. You know, that's a lot of delegates he's going to get from there. And moving forward, there's still a lot of states. In fact, another one to bring up is Washington, which my state, which is that if all the other candidates are going up against Bernie are polling under 15% right now. If they don't get above 15%, Washington does not distribute any delegates to anybody under 15%. That means if Bernie gets the vast majority of the votes, which, I mean, it still seems highly unlikely that would happen, but let's just say he did, none of the other candidates got 15%. Bernie would get every bit of, I believe, the 80-plus delegates that Washington has to offer, pledged delegates. There also was something, you know, I think that there's been a lot of, for as similar as the policies tend to be, there's been a lot of, I know you've been a fan of both, but I think that, you know, if you're a Bernie fan, there are some things about Elizabeth you don't like. And if you're an Elizabeth Warren fan, there's some things about Bernie you don't like. And even I fell into that a bit. And there are things that I honestly, you know, in full honest disclosure here, that I cannot get past with her. With that being said, you know, there's no time for that. The centrist consolidated. At the end of the day, we're working toward a progressive path with Elizabeth and Bernie, and I really don't care in whatever way we need to move forward. I really don't care in what way that is, whether it's, you know, we know that right now Bernie has far more delegates than she does, but whichever way, we need to move forward with them together because they are better together than they are apart, because as we need to move forward with this progressive ideology. And so I think that's going to happen. From what I've heard tonight, it does look encouraging from both Bernie's interview on Rachel Maddow and what I've heard, even the Elizabeth Warren camp talk, like, you know, she does not like Joe Biden. I don't see her siphoning from Bernie to help Joe.
I don't know. I legitimately believe for a very long time that if Warren would drop out, she would immediately endorse Bernie. But now I just, like, I can't trust that belief. Like, I want Warren to, like, do that. I want her to stick to progressive values, to fight for progressive values. But, like, I've just been so disappointed with her the past couple months. I did actually, though, I did get my Elizabeth Warren mug in the mail, because I do maintain that Elizabeth Warren has some of the best merch. So I have this mug that says, "I like my coffee like I like my American unions strong."
Which is a great, great thing, yes.
It's a great cup, yes.
Yes.
So I will be drinking some coffee out of this tomorrow morning, and hoping that Warren drops the fuck out.
Well, I mean, the hope is that, you know, and I totally get where you're, you know, being worried, because I think we are a little bit worried, because it really comes down to who offers her what, right? Bernie, I think, will be hesitant to offer her the potential vice presidency, but he might find himself in a bit of a pickle right now as well. In, you know, making sure that he does have a pathway to having more delegates, because he promised tonight on Rachel Maddow that if he did not have the plurality of delegates come convention time, he would drop out. Not just, there would be no contested convention if Biden was the one with more votes come July. And I think that's a big thing for him to say. It's a very stick to your gun sort of thing, because he said that if he has a plurality of delegates, that others should do the same. And personally, I agree with that, and I respect him for the fact that he has now promised that he will drop out if he doesn't have the plurality of delegates come July. I do hope that Elizabeth's, I don't want to say dislike, but let's be honest, that's what they've pegged it as, of Joe Biden, even if he were to offer her the world, which, let's say he offered her a vice presidency, because some people have said that giving her the treasury, if you're Bernie, would be a better place for her, because she has her policies fit in line with something, and her view on economics would fit more in line with that. But it's not a flashy job like the vice presidency is.
You know, but in a way, she'd have more to do. Like, she would be like, you're actually productive. The vice presidency is sort of a just sort of bullshit, just sort of exist kind of position.
Right. But as president, you know, two people who have been senators, both of them being president in the Senate, has some sort of prestige to it. I don't think Bernie needs the prestige as much as other candidates do. But I think you're exactly right. No, I think that she would be extremely valuable as treasurer. You know, and again, that sounds like anybody who's listening to this who has a thing against supposed Bernie bros is going to say, oh, yeah, so now you're going to give her a consolation prize after, you know, we supposedly fucked her over so bad, you know, as Bernie supporters. And no, that's not the case. You know, I was a fan of Warren's for years, honestly. And there were certain things I think she got away with and the bait she took that from Trump that I don't think a lot of other candidates would have gotten away with, whether they be male or female. And I think that then she extended the truth at best on a lot of things that, again, other candidates would have been held responsible for. And we keep using the same old story that it's because of sexism, and there a lot of people are 100% right. Sexism does play a part in this, no doubt, but it's not everything in this case. And you know, she seemed to keep getting in her way when she was starting to gain momentum, and it's almost like she couldn't help herself but get in her way.
A part of me thinks that, like, from what I've heard from, like, Twitter, so, like, this probably is bullshit and everything's bullshit and why are we even bothering? I didn't say that. But, like, a part of I did see on Twitter that, like, her campaign did hire some ex-Clinton staffers, and, like, there's, like, that, like, conspiracy theory part of your brain that everyone has. It's, like, maybe, like, she was just convinced to do things that, like, hurt her campaign by people who didn't really want a progressive to win. Like,
There's always questions in politics. And I don't downplay anybody's thought when it comes to it, because politics are so dirty and so nasty when it comes down to it. And so I would not for one minute think that that's not possible. What I can say is that, you know, what I found funny yesterday was a lot of it was actually because I have a lot of Canadian friends and family. I love Canada. But what I found really funny was that they slammed the United States for being too chauvinist to elect a female president. And I totally admit that we have our issues there. But I do find it very rich from a country who has never elected a female prime minister. And they did have one for 6 months, but it was because the male that preceded her, I believe, was voted out with a vote of no confidence. And so she ended up being prime minister for 6 months. But they have not shown a huge wanting to have a female leader. On top of that, they're so hellbent on these big names, whether it's because Joe Biden was Obama's best friend or because they like Warren, that a country who has benefited from their version of Medicare for All for years is trying to talk to people who are supporters of Bernie and tell them how bad they are, when that's literally at the top of a lot of our lists because we haven't had that and we are suffering because of it. So Canada, politely, I'd like to ask you to sit the fuck down and worry about your own country. There are other countries in this world that totally should be looking at who we're electing, because we could very well bomb them at some point. That's how the U.S. goes about things. Canada's not one of those. And Canada, please, you have enough problems. You had Rob fucking Ford in Toronto. So please.
And everything that's happening with the Wet'suwet'en right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another great point to bring up. And
something that a lot of audience members might not be familiar with. I don't know that I have the energy to go into it right now, but we should definitely dedicate an episode to that. Unfortunately, right now, I just want to crawl into bed and just sort of wrap myself up into a cocoon and just sort of melt into goo and reform myself as a little butterfly made of fire.
You are already a butterfly to us, Aiden. So before you have a little bit of an update for us, but so the final thing I will say, this is what I would like to see from Bernie going forward. He has a great tool in AOC, and what's funny is you can even ask my mom, because I was talking to her about it today, so I said it before his, and he almost like underlined what I said on Rachel Maddow. I was so proud tonight that he said this, because he has a great tool though in AOC, right, where the rallies are awesome. They're like rock star moments. They're awesome, right? I love that. But what he has in AOC is somebody who can, because let's be real, what didn't show up that should have for Bernie? The youth vote. The youth vote still, and there's a lot of reasons for that. One, that you can vote at some places with a hunting license but not a student license, and that there are, you know, I mean, these are ridiculous things when for young people, they're trying to oppress a certain voting bases. And it's terrible to hear that. But also, young people, in my opinion, didn't show up like they should have. I hope more states go absentee like Washington does, because we don't have problems with the polls, because we don't have polls. We just send our shit through the mail. But what he does have in AOC and even Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar is that he has people who do latch onto it, or that the young base latches onto. And you have those, the rallies are great, but imagine AOC getting on Instagram live with one of her macaroni and cheese moments and talking, and let's realistically talk to young people of this generation don't like the bullshit. You can make a difference shit. They want to hear realistic shit. And the truth is, nothing about this movement is going to be easy. It's not. You're not going to vote and change the world, but this movement can, and this movement needs people. And I want to see him utilize the internet. I want to see him utilize social media. I want to see him connect with young people who go, look, at this is not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but we want to listen to, one, what you're suffering from, the issues that you're facing, and also why you might be adverse to being part of this process. And I want to see a realistic talk, because that's what kids of this generation like to hear. They like a realistic talk. They don't like the cringeworthy bullshit, and they will let you know on Twitter and on Facebook when you do something like that, and you are of an older generation, including us millennials now, although I forget if you're a millennial or Gen Z.
I'm like right on the cusp of millennial Gen Z. I don't really consider myself older Gen Z.
Okay, fair. So, but anyways, yeah.
Doomer tonight.
But I do, believe that Bernie still has a pathway to the nomination, and I do believe if he utilizes this stuff properly. But he mentioned it tonight, what I will say in the interview with Maddow, where he said that, you know, he he mentioned that it's not going to be easy sort of thing. And I think that's something important because, you know, I remember Hillary back when she was running and it was, you know, you've been playing Pokemon Go. Why don't you Pokemon Go to the polls? Which was like, you know, the worst moment, I think, not the worst, but one of the worst moments that I remember of her campaign where, you know, the young voters were like, are you serious? Did you just say
someone
that?
Someone posted in the Not Safe for Work channel on my Discord. Mm-hmm. I've heard the young people today are into Ahiago. Well, how about you Ahiago to the polls? And it showed an image of Hillary Clinton, but her white pantsuit was like edited to have like to look like one of those Ahiago shirts. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's the internet.
Did I say
man.
That right? I don't even know if I said it right.
I don't.
I don't even 100% know what it is. It's some anime cum thing, I guess.
Yeah, I know the basis of it. Cannot tell you if you pronounced it right. Okay. But yeah, so all in all, what I will say in summary, I still actually feel pretty decent. California is a big win. The West Coast does matter, regardless of what CNN would like you to think. Washington still has a vote. Oregon still has a vote. Colorado and Utah both showed up for Bernie. California did. And we still have your home state of Michigan that he
in
did
a week.
He did well.
I know
because
well
Minnesota
last time, but I don't know about this time.
I know because Minnesota was a shock. Realize that.
Yeah.
But I do still hold out hope. He's doubling down. He is getting a little more aggressive, which I know that's something Bernie isn't typically fond of doing, but he is doing it right now with Biden, and that I think we need to see that because we need.
In a way, I think that he needs to be like more. He doesn't need to be more aggressive. He needs to be nice, almost nicer. But I think that he needs to focus on reframing the conversation. You know, like I really wish that. Like, he obviously goes into his Medicare for All plan whenever he's asked for the bajillionth time about raising taxes on the middle class. Like, he goes into it. But I think that, like, there's also a really important element of reframing it. Like, if 46,000 Americans every year were dying from a terrorist attack, how much is the maximum amount of money you think that we should spend on our war budget?
Point.
You know, like, I think that, I want someone to say, like, okay, so Joe Biden, let's say that we have a situation where we have Medicare for All. Maybe it's more expensive than our current system. Maybe it's not. But, like, let's say that we had Medicare for All and every person was insured and we didn't have 46,000 people dying of preventable illnesses every year because they couldn't get insurance. If you were going to pitch our current system, if you're going to pitch Obamacare or your plan when we already have that system, like, how would you pitch it? My Joe Biden's plan might be more expensive than Medicare for All. It might be less expensive than Medicare for All, but like definitely more Americans will die, but we'll still have a private insurance industry that'll make profit, and you'll have fewer options of doctors, and you'll have fewer hospitals, and also, yeah, because you're poor. And I mean, even if you're like rich, even if you have good insurance, your insurance options are still limited
yeah.
based on what's in network.
Yep.
Like, and also if you lose your job, you could lose your health insurance and you could lose access to your doctors, but you'll have the option of which restriction you'll have. And yes, we'll have some people die from preventable illnesses, but also, like, if you frame it that way,
yeah.
if you frame it as that, like, it sounds absolutely ludicrous. Like, why are we even considering continuing with the current system? And I just really wish that Bernie would, like, take control of part of that narrative. He does to an extent. Mm. I just also wish he would reframe his ideas in some ways, because he repeats the same thing a lot, because
yeah.
he is consistent, because he has honed his points to like every word based on like years of experience in politics. He's figured out what works for our demographic, but I feel like if he reframed things in certain ways or was able to just put things in a different perspective that might be able to reach more people,
yeah.
to sort of shake things up a bit, because I feel like the people who are going to respond to his message have responded to his message, and the people who haven't responded to his message probably would if his message was delivered slightly differently, you know?
No, you're exactly right. That's actually because the debates kind of almost cause that, where you see the same shit every single debate, right? They just have a different, you know, a lot of the candidates find a different way to say the same thing each debate, right? But Bernie tends...
They have good applause lines or good, like...
Exactly.
Good, like, phrases of tongue, you know?
Whereas Bernie just gives his same points every single time. And I've always used the comparison that, think about how inhumane it really seems if you think about that when you go through insurance, compared to like a cell phone plan, right? That basically if you have this level of insurance, you get this much care, this level of insurance, you get this much care, this level of insurance, you get top care. But basically we're treating it as your health is determined by your wealth. And that, to me, anybody who thinks that's a humane way of dealing with things in any country is completely just bonkers, one, and two, is not a very good person, in my opinion. And the whole private insurance argument is such a tired, you and I have talked about it a million times, so I'm not going to bore everybody on here with that, but it's such a tired argument, and in my opinion, that's the reason. Healthcare is a right. That's just plain and simple. There's no arguing that with me. And I've discussed, hey, I was somebody even at one point in my life where I was told growing up by family, you don't want the government running your healthcare. And I
except the government wouldn't be running healthcare.
I know.
No, hospitals and providers would still be private, right. Just like the method of paying for it.
Right.
Just,
and that's what I was going to get into, is that because you're fed these things, and then slowly as I got older, I'm talking, remember when I was like young teens, okay? And slowly as I got older, I started to realize, oh my god, this shit that I've been fed. And by the way, in no way am I calling out my close family members here. I have a lot of smart family members. You know, and you start to, you know, that's how easy it is for people to misunderstand it and misinterpret it and be brought up a certain way. And to me, the fact that you could in any way, shape, or form now be, the fact that a lot of people are brainwashed into thinking that health coverage and getting the proper medical treatment is not a human right, but determined on how much money you make and how what your status is as a family or as an individual is absolutely insanity, and it's inhumane. It shouldn't be happening in any established country. And I hope that, you know, and some of the, he mentioned today when he was talking about the fact too that he and Elizabeth are both for a $15 minimum wage. And, you know, there are a lot of things that for the most part, he and Elizabeth Warren do agree on. And that's why I hope, I have the same worries as you do, but I just hope tomorrow something comes out that says that she has dropped out and she is, and she's supporting Bernie. So we can keep on going down this path. I'm going to continue to do it regardless. But it will feel like a loss to a lot of people if Bernie doesn't get the nomination. And, you know, because CNN today is already talking about all the AOC aligned, the ones that she supported, that not all of them did great in their races. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And some people see it as excuses. Some people will understand that this is politics. Regardless, the media will spin it in the way they want to, and people will interpret it the way that they do. And I still believe AOC is a rock star who is going to be a huge, huge part of the future of the progressive movement. And I think she'll run for president in the not so distant future.
I hope she runs for president in like 15 years. Unless like we need someone to deal with climate change like now. But I think that like we need her to like, yeah, I think that she's good where she is. But I also hate when people are like, oh, like the progressives didn't do as well as we decided they should have done. Like, because like they, like it's like, and but they, so like I guess progressives should just like sit their asses down and recognize that like the no one like likes you, and it's like the progressive movement has come so fucking far just in like a couple decades, like and throughout history, like the beginnings of the labor movement, like labor organizers were fucking shot like and imprisoned and like didn't like make a lot of progress. Like these things take decades to do, like to build up a movement. To say that because like your first fights don't go well, you should stop fighting is ludicrous to me. And I think it's just a way to get people to shut up and be complacent.
And did anybody think that AOC was going to defeat Crowley? No, but she did. Did anybody think that, I mean, when you look at Ro Khanna, when you look at Rashida Tlaib, when you look at Ilhan Omar, go down the list. We don't know how Joshua is going to do. I never know his last name because he's Joshua Trucker on Twitter. But the guy here in Washington.
I think it's Joshua Cullen.
I do believe you're right, yeah. I just know him as Joshua Trucker. We don't know how he's going to do here. He was unopposed for a while. Now I know a lot of people threw money into the race, and we have some different things there. Agatha Bastelar, who we had on the show, or I talked to on the show, she didn't get second place in that running, which I believe by California rules, because they are talking about the fact that there will be an opposition to Pelosi. It's another progressive candidate. And I know Pelosi got 70%+ of the vote. I get that. But there still is a movement there. And all these things will continue to come together, continue to gather steam. And I still have, like I said, I still really do have a lot of faith in the fact that I do believe Bernie still has a pathway to the nomination. And we know that if you do consider a lot of those Elizabeth Warren votes that were, I don't think all of them were for Bernie, not all of them were. would have been if she wasn't in it. But I think a lot of them would have been. And we know that he would have won some of these states, possibly Oklahoma, possibly Texas. And we still have a lot of places to go. New York is a weird one. I don't think that's a Bernie style state, but who knows what changes by the time New York comes around. That's about a month away. So yeah, so that's that. One other thing I was going to say, the protesters that showed up at Joe Biden's rally yesterday, vegan, no dairy protesters. It's interesting because they also showed up at Bernie's. They also showed up at Elizabeth Warren's. And I don't know how Elizabeth Warren handled it, but I know Bernie, although he was disgruntled, mostly stepped aside and let it happen. Whereas, you know, they've been making a big thing about Jill Biden shoving them off the stage and saying this is the badass mentality we need as a first lady. These protesters, whether you agree with how they're doing it or not, I don't care what the protester is, whether it's for something I believe in or don't believe in. If they get that far, and I think I'd love to see a leader who stepped aside and said, look, you got this far. This is your time. So anything short of wearing Nazi paraphernalia, you know, let us, we're listening. What do you have to say? And the fact that we shut up people who are passionate about something, including even at the Bernie Sanders rally where they shut the microphone off, I think does a disservice to what's built this country, which is dissent and which is protest. And I don't find Jill Biden pushing the protester off as anything, I don't find anything to celebrate. I think these are people who care about the planet, and although they might not be doing it the way we all agree is the best way, they do care about the planet in some way. And I think that Jill...
I heard like a conspiracy theory that they may have been like paid by like Iranian like government or something, like some like foreign government that wanted to like create dissent or chaos or something. I don't know anything about that part,
but all I can say is that to me
it's really fun to just like be in like an area of history where you can like sort of see the conspiracies as they develop. It's like real funny. Like I feel like I don't really smoke weed, but like I feel like I should start smoking weed and just be like, yeah, fuck the CIA, man.
Regardless, what I will say is that to me, we just need to listen to people. You know, that's a big problem in this country is that we're not listening to people. And even if we don't find their arguments to be something we align with or whatever, stop shutting up people just because they're being disruptive. Disruption is a large part of getting things done. Aiden, what do you have going on here with your, how you were, you actually worked a lot of this campaign election cycle in California. How are you doing? How are you holding up besides being almost asleep right now?
I'm okay. The election that I was working on for the past few months, like it's going to take a while for all the votes to come in. Currently, my candidate's way behind though. So I'm also a little sad about that. Like he's at like 30% right now. The other person has like 60 something percent.
Hey, 30% is a large part though.
Yeah, I mean, like it's something. So we're working on it. We worked on it, and now I'm moving back home to Michigan in a few days, possibly within a week. And I'm gonna figure out what the fuck to do. I want to start canvassing for Bernie, crashing on folks' couches. So if I know you at least a little bit, and you're listening to this, and you live in like Wisconsin or Ohio. It might be down and have a Bernie field office in your area. Look it up. If I could crash there, that'd be awesome.
Hype. There you go. Yeah, definitely. And by the way, awesome that you're doing that work as well. So yeah, so you're headed back to Michigan, or the Midwest, I should say. And that seems to be the next chapter for you, it seems like.
Hopefully. We'll see. I have to clean up my entire room tomorrow and figure out, like, what I'm taking and what I'm leaving, what I'm trashing and giving away. And, oh, my God. It's a lot.
It is.
So thanks to everyone for bearing with us today. It's a solemn day. Solidarity.
Well, you know, like I said, all we can hope for is that, you know, a few weeks ago, we were saying that Bernie was potentially a runaway winner and Biden was down and out. And this week, people seem to be flipped, so the tables could turn just as quickly down the road. And so we will see how it goes. But everybody, thank you as always for joining us. Hopefully, we'll find more ways to do this in the future. Of course, Aiden and I both have busy lives away from this podcast, so we try to do it as much as we can. But also,
the last time we were going to record, I completely forgot.
Okay.
I think that you didn't text me or anything, or didn't you have to like call me? Or...
I know. I always feel like bad. I feel like you're asleep or something, and then if I call you, you're gonna be like, "I'll wake you up
and record a fucking podcast."
All right, I'll remember that.
Okay.
Good luck with moving to the Midwest, Aiden. And again, thank you to everybody. You know where to find us and find all of our stuff online. It's in the description of this podcast. You can also find our other two podcasts, Lemonade Podcast and Dibs Welcome to the Family there. Everybody, stay dope and vote your heart, but please let that be Bernie.